Hello and welcome back to the AFK Podcast. I'm your host, Jim, and this is once again the PC Gaming Podcast from Gamers Like You. Joining me this week is Curlin.
What up, though?
And Curlin's going to have to kind of be a little bit quiet because he's having some trouble getting the baby to go down. But so if he has to duck out, it's okay. Or if you hear him whispering, you know why. Also joining me is Kevin the Red Commie.
Everyone, I have missed you.
I'm sure everyone's missed you too, Kevin. We can't wait to hear about Marvel Heroes.
Already starting.
Oh my god.
And that other voice you're hearing is Matt the Killer Tree Frog. What's up, Matt?
What is up, fam?
Thanks for joining us this week, guys. No live stream yet. No live chat yet. I'm working on it. We're probably just going to use YouTube because it works most of the time. Other than that, it's good to be back chatting with you guys. I know we took a very long break this time. How about you, Curlin? What you been up to in the last year?
Well, I became free. That has pretty much been crypto and raising my kid. That's pretty much it. Oh, and driving. That's about it.
You got really heavy into the crypto mining. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that? Or, you know, have you come out ahead? What's your mining rig made up of?
I'm still in the black, and I'm still mining right now.
Nice.
So right now at the house, I have 16 Vegas, no, 14 Vegas, 4 580s, and a handful of 560s, and they're all mining Monero.
Monero. I thought Monero was a CPU-intensive coin to mine.
That's the thing. It's versatile, but it really, really cranks on Vegas.
And nice.
The dev team are adamant about kicking ASICs off of the network to make it fair game for regular GPU miners like myself. So, of course, it makes sense to back their project. And plus, it's one of the few coins out there that has a practical use. You know, like the privacy for transactions is second to none. So I think it's one of the mainstays. It's like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Monero, everything else. You know what I mean? So
You originally were mining Ethereum, weren't you?
Yeah. That's what I started out on, and that's kind of what I dipped my toe in with. But they allowed the ASICs on the network, and when they started creeping in, the difficulty shot sky high, and it wasn't worth it anymore. You know what I mean? Especially after the dive last December, because the power usage for what you will mine is a hell of a lot more than what I'm mining now with the same hardware. So
you have to figure out a way to make a compact mining rig that you can sneak under your desk at work, right?
Well, I've already made a couple of small ones. Me and my boy, not our Josh, but Crypto Josh, we take the bread racks and, you know, we'll stick a motherboard and a power supply in the tray at the bottom and then hang the GPUs at the top. We call those shorties. I built a couple of those for a client of mine that wanted a couple of rigs, and I built a couple for Josh. But most of my stuff is on a regular full-size bread rack and a octominer, which is like a specialized case for riserless or riserless build, more or less. It looks kind of like a 4U server case, three big-ass loud fans in the front, and a long motherboard that will hold 8 GPUs.
Will it heat your house in the wintertime?
Actually, it can, because right now I took some aluminum flashing and made a custom duct and taped it to an air conditioning duct that I have, and it's pointed outside of the window right now to keep the heat out of the garage.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So you might actually save some money on heating your house in the wintertime.
Yeah, because what I'm thinking about doing is taking everything I have and building more shorties and then just spread them throughout the house. So not only will I be using the same power, but I'll use less gas this winter too. So
I was going to say, the heat.
Right.
And then we'll keep you warm.
What is your power bill like?
I have averaging turned on, so it's thus far it's kind of like it's been about the just maybe $100 more than if I were just running the AC all summer.
Oh.
So I'm averaging around 300 or so a month.
Damn.
Yeah, but like I said, in the summertime, running the AC without mining, it was like 250.
Oh, okay. That's not yeah. yeah. Well, you guys get really hot down there, so it doesn't get that hot up here.
And since my house is gas, so is my heat. So in the winter, the gas and electric will flip flop, and the gas will be like $50. I mean, the electric will be like $50, but the gas will be like $300.
Oh man!
Trying to keep
Jesus.
The house warm. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah. Well, I mean, you're in the black, so I mean, it must be worth it then.
I mean, there's different strategies. See, what a lot of people would figure ROI as is, okay, I mine X amount and it's worth this. Can I pay off what I bought? And it's like, you're doing it wrong. Well, what you want to do is take the bulk of what you mine. You know, learn, study up a little bit and trade against it. That way you can recoup your gains back faster. And for pretty much everything that I bought all crypto because Newegg accepts crypto.
Nice.
So, yeah. So
you didn't even have to pay the exchange fees for converting it back to cash in order to make a purchase. You just paid directly to Newegg. That's awesome.
Right. And, also, it just allows you to buy more so you can continue to stack. And the only thing that you're paying out of pocket is the electricity. So.
And GPU prices have dropped back down to normal now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do we really consider the freaking RX, whatever, the 2080 prices to be regular?
Well, we're going to get into that. We're definitely going to get into that.
Just wait. I got a few choice words for those bastards.
So what have you been playing, girls?
It's pretty much just been Destiny 2 and WoW of late. Other than that, I've just been kind of dibbing and dabbing and, you know, certain things.
I finished
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Did you just say you're playing WoW?
Yeah.
You're paying a subscription fee?
Yeah. Somehow I had two-month prepaid cards here. I forgot how the hell I got them. And they were playing at the LAN, so I was like, I'll throw those on the account because I kind of got a little itch. And that way when the sub runs out, but it should be about 4 months, probably the itch will be gone too. So it's been working out so far.
And this expansion's been actually pretty decent for the most part.
Yeah.
Doug already quit. I never picked it up.
Yeah.
Well, the last
I haven't burned, played. Yeah, I haven't played since Pandemonium. So.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. That's what, like three expansions ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, now it was. And you're still playing Destiny 2?
Yeah, off and on. I've been playing more WoW of late since I have, about 2 months left on the sub. So, and it's also a good, you know, throw some video on and then you just kind of go through the muscle memory playing type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, WoW is something you can play and watch TV at the same time, for sure.
Right.
It's kind of it's brainless activity. Mm-hmm. Especially since it's very repetitive.
Right.
I started getting the itch for WoW at the beginning of the expansion, and then I watched a couple of Twitch streamers play it for, I don't know, a couple of days, and then the itch was gone.
Basically, that's how I got my itch for the Spider-Man game that came out only on PlayStation. I've been watching a few playthroughs. I first watched Shroud, now I've been watching the a group I watch called Neebs Gaming. A fantastic group of idiots that, how I describe them, idiots are playing games together. And I've been getting I don't have a PS4, I don't have Spider-Man, but hey, at least now I get to see how the game works and goes. And it actually looks like a fantastic game, though.
Is it like Marvel Heroes?
No. Oh my god. You do know Marvel Heroes is over with, right?
I know. Unfortunately, it shut down. I think that's shitty. I mean, people paid a lot of money for that.
Yeah, it was a pretty big thing. When it went down, there was a lot of crap going around, because apparently one of the guys that was, like, one of the investors that took over the game apparently didn't have a clue what he was doing, and there was a lot of accusations about his conduct. But there was a lot of crap that went on.
That's how rumors start, Kevin.
Yes, it is.
Anything else on your playlist, girls?
That's pretty much been it. As far as gaming is concerned, cool. That's pretty much it.
All right, Kami, I know you said you've been taking a look at the Spider-Man game on PS4. Have you had a chance to play it at all?
I don't have a PS4, so no. Right now, I've been playing a little bit of WoW, Conan.
I saw you in Conan, yeah.
Yeah, Pathfinder Kingmaker, which I do recommend, though it still has a lot of bugs. Hopefully, they'll get more and more bugs done. They get at least 2 patches a week out that more or less smooth out some of the bugs. I've had a pretty easy playthrough so far, but I'm kind of stuck at a point where I don't want to go back, because actually the amount of time I put in to get to where I am, even though I do have a couple of saves before that, I just don't want to do it. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to try to get around, and I'm hoping maybe some of these patches will ease it out. But
tell me more about Pathfinder. I know, because that's a game that you were waiting for for a very long time.
This is not Pathfinder Online.
This is something different.
That never came. Well, it did come out ish. I could go on forever. That might have quite a whole story on to itself. But essentially, the company that was doing it, it's no longer there, and some other company took over, or he's bought the name for the company that was doing it. But it's kind of there, and let me just type in one quick thing.
Yeah, I thought that was the game that you had been anticipating all this time, kind of like Star Citizen. I remember when Star Citizen came out, we were talking about Star Citizen.
Actually, I wanted to talk about Star Citizen, because there was a video out earlier this week, but the last updates for the early enrollment version 15.2 was August 10th of this year, so for Pathfinder Online. But I did watch from the recent Star Citizen Con, which I didn't know they actually was. I totally forgot about that game until that popped up in my YouTube list, and I'm actually impressed so far with how the game looks. I do think that it's taken way too long. This is starting to get to the point where it's definitely more like what was that one game, Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
Those of us who remember Duke Nukem took fucking forever to come out.
And then it was terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Duke Nukem Forever.
Something like that, yes.
Would have been the best vaporware.
It probably would have been. I mean, a lot of people want to try. I've heard some people try to tie Half-Life 3 to this, but one of the things I brought up was, they never promised us Half-Life 3. Never. They've never promised us Half-Life 3, so we can't really complain about Half-Life 3 being vaporware or anything like that. So we're just stuck with no Half-Life 3, which is a real disappointment. I just don't understand why they won't try to do something, because Half-Life was what put them on the map. But I guess they've looked at the numbers and decided maybe it's just not worth it. I don't know. But, from what I saw from the Star Citizen video, and I recommend you guys go find the video I'm talking about. Let me see if I can find it myself. 85-minute view. Pause. You. Star Citizen, 85 minutes of new gameplay, Open Universe Sandbox, CitizenCon 2018. This was published October 11th.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I've just kind of tuned it out until they have an official release.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I totally have forgotten about this whole thing until this. I saw this video, like I said.
Yeah, but I kind of forgot it, about it, too. Looks like they've got the. They're actually on a planet now. Can you actually land on planets now and get out of the ship?
Well, right now, I don't know how many planets you can land on, but they showed footage of walking around in this main city. I don't know if it's a star city or what the deal is. But you can walk around the city. There's a couple of different shops, ways to get contracts, which are basically missions, quests, go from there to he actually went to go try to find. I'm just gonna sum up the video real quick. He went in, got in his ship. He flew the ship to a downed satellite to try to find a razor blade that had that was a prototype razor blade rather than the typical razor blades you were pulling out of it. Now he said
one of two things could have happened. Is it like a Gillette or a Schick?
Not that kind of blade. I'm sort of talking like server blades, like you know, that kind of stuff. That's what I mean by blade. Sorry, but good point, Jim.
I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, I know you are. Missed it.
I mean, this video looks fucking cool.
Yeah, like I said, it's really well done from what I've seen. But of course, this is still way in the beta. That's what I'm talking about. They were talking about in things in this video about things that they still haven't implemented yet that won't be out yet, like the smuggling and law and order stuff. So apparently, there's going to be checkpoints in the city where you come up to, and if you have contraband on yourself, you know, you're going to get arrested or not allowed access. So apparently, they said that one of the things they planned to do was set up ways for smugglers to smuggle stuff in, sneak stuff in. So I don't know anything about that. I just know what I saw from the video, which was, I said, real pretty. But to sum up the rest of the video, he said one of two things could have happened. You know, you either found the server blade, the prototype server blade that you're looking for, and if you did, that was it. That's the mission. If not, then someone took it, and you got to find out what someone did. Now,
so the guys on the ground here that he's shooting, these are NPCs?
Yep.
Well, that's cool. So they're adding quests, basically.
They are adding quests. Now, cool. They said he's got a lot more procedural stuff added to this. Because when he left because it took him a while at the satellite to get away from it. When he came up to his ship, the ship got blown up by those NPCs.
Yeah, I'm watching that now.
Yeah. So they already had someone else on call, just in case. And this person came in with what was a drop ship in. And then he got on board on it. It was really cool. There was some cool moments. I would rather you guys watch for yourselves if you're interested.
Yeah, yeah. I'm watching it now. It's really cool.
They went in and they got the server blade, and then he dropped it off. But from what I saw, like I said, it looks good. But I'm with you, Jim. Until this game is more official, you know, I'll look more into it. Because I think this is the second video in the last 3 years that I've seen that interests me. The other one was with Mark Hamill. It was a video of Mark Hamill doing his mocap stuff for the Squadron 42. Yeah, the single player stuff. But, you know, nothing else has come from that. So I'm just going to say, yeah, until it's official, I'm...
Yeah, I mean, my fear is that they're going to eventually run out of money before it's done. But, I mean, what I've seen so far, I mean, it looks good. It's just, I don't know. I guess their reasoning is it's better to spend more time on it than rush it and get it done the way you want it to get it done. But, I mean, at some point, they're going to run out of money, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think many people are buying ships in the game anymore. In fact, there'll be a point where I'm betting we'll hear a lot more about lawsuits about, I gave you this much money and the game never came out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, some of those ships are expensive, right? I mean... Thousands we're talking about.
Yeah, some of them worth thousands of dollars. One part of the video, if you go earlier before when he's shooting those NPCs before he gets to his ship, you actually see the carrier, Kraken, I think it was. I think that's one of those $1,000 ships that's in the game.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that anybody that was interested in buying it probably already has. So I don't know if they're going to make more money after this thing finally launches or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I know what you mean. Now, here's one thing I am going to say about this. Sometimes we do need a game like this that kind of pushes the boundaries of what games are currently doing. Because I can't think of another game that's really doing this. Can you guys? I'm just asking.
No, I mean, I really can't.
Matt, Gerlin?
No, not really.
Because it's either... Call of Duty, another Call of Duty, another Battlefield.
Dude, I mean, don't get me wrong. I want this game to succeed. I want this game to come out. I want it to be everything that Chris Roberts envisioned. I'm a huge fan of the Wing Commander series. I just, I don't want to, I guess it's just, I don't want to get my hopes up because...
Oh, I'm in both. like I said, I totally forgot about this game until this video popped up on my YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, okay. And now because I've seen it, it's like, fuck, now that I got this in my fucking brain, I had totally forgotten about it. God damn it. I was so happy. But now that I know this game is still in the works, fuck you.
Yeah. I'm kind of like on blackout for the most part. Like, Star Citizen, meh, it's all right. I don't want to hear shit about it. Like, just let them produce something first.
Then yeah.
I've got crunk. Like,
yeah. But the only reason I brought it up was because I saw this video and I was like, well, that's what they're talking about. Because it looks like they've done more with this than Pathfinder Online, which is how we all basically got onto this. But
you gotta reach out into the indie game dev sphere, Kevin, because there's so many gems out there.
It's insane. There are. I won't lie. There are. Not many that catch my interest. But
let me tell you about indie games. It's when you're sifting through a litter box and a litter box is full of turds and you find a dollar, that's like finding a good indie game.
Yeah, I will admit to that. Speaking of indie games that have actually done pretty well, I would say No Man's Sky is a lot closer now to what it was promised than what it was when it was released. Remember the whole shit show
No Man's Refund.
No Man's Refund. You can actually play with people now. You can build bases. That one of the things they're doing, which I'm not saying is a cheap way of doing, keeping things interesting, keep their player base engaged, but you see this a lot more in other games, is now they're having seasonal things. I don't know if it's like a monthly or bi-monthly or what the deal is, but now they'll have something where the player base can contribute to stuff, and then they'll get rewards at the end of it, kind of like, you know, Diablo does their season thing where people do stuff and they'll get rewards for it.
Now, but, do you play Elite Dangerous at all with Clay?
No, but that is one of those games that has always done very well. And I hear a story about it, I always think it sounds good. Well, I think
he's eased off of it of late. I could be mistaken.
That figures. Yeah. Anytime I go to pick up a game, everybody's has already moved on.
Yeah. Now, one of the games, I think he's playing is Warframe, and that's with Bubba and
who's the other guy? Yeah, I tried to get into that. Corey. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah. Corey. Corey and Bubba have been playing Warframe a lot, I swear. Yeah, they're playing right now together. But
They say that they succumb to peer pressure, and they finally start playing.
They're playing it, but I tried it, and it actually does seem to be an all right free-to-play game. Plus, if you have a Twitch Prime account, you get free stuff every once in a while from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but I was hoping for something a little bit more persistent, for myself. So when they were,
it kind of reminds me of Destiny.
Yeah. So when there was all of that talk about having a place where you can land and run around together and all this other kind of stuff, I was hoping it would be a little bit more Destiny-ish, but from what I understand, it's not quite that way.
Cool. Huh. I just came back into Conan and I'm almost dead. I don't know what the hell that
was. Well, were you done? Or you got more?
No. I was going to go back to the Pathfinder Kingmaker.
Tell me about that, because you've been playing a lot of that.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. So if you're a fan of the Baldur's Gate games, I do recommend this. It doesn't do anything really special, but it follows a Pathfinder play system, which is basically 3.5, 13U'd, for those who know Dungeons & Dragons. It has a very integrated player system. It's got player classes. You can go from a lot of classes. That many of them have different subsets.
Can we play together? Does it have a co-op?
It is no co-op, which is disappointing, and I'll get into that in a moment. But it does continue the kind of Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter Nights games from before. One thing I was kind of hoping, because of the way how the system is all nicely set up, is if they could have done something with it like they did with the Persistent Worlds of Neverwinter Nights 2. But I don't think they're going to do that. Or is the first Neverwinter Night. But Like I said, you can only play single player, at least for now. Apparently there is going to be a season pass thing where they're going to release more stuff. But like I said, it's a lot like the Baldur's Gate games. But in this one, you actually will become a baron of a land, which is not going to be a big spoiler because it's the whole reason you go out on the adventure you're doing. You're trying to claim this land and become the baron of it. And it has events, and you set up the characters in your group to take over council positions, advisor positions for you that can then take care of stuff. It's got in-character quests, the side characters. It's got a lot of dynamic stuff, depending on what you picked earlier might affect the way something else happens later on. But it really doesn't do much to really push the genre, but it is really well done. But like I said earlier, it is very buggy, but they have been releasing a lot of patches. So
now the reviews I read said it was also very unforgiving.
It is. It is very unforgiving because a lot of the places are set up for higher level encounters for when you're higher level. So you go in there and you're level 3 and you should only wait till you're level 6 to probably be there. You will get slaughtered. So there's been a lot of places where I've gone to, got my ass handed to me. So we started our previous save points and then decided I'll come back to that in a few couple of levels. But it is very unforgiving. But it does have a lot different playthroughs, options like, you know, normal, which has, you know, tough training sessions, or you know, hardcore, to just basically more story. If you're just interested in the story, you know, the gameplay will be a lot lighter.
So you can adjust the difficulty?
You can. And one thing, this is one of the reasons why I've been waiting, because I think the only way I'm going to get to pass this one point that I'm at right now is either to adjust difficulty or just wait and see if one of the patches does something which helps me out. Because I'm at a point where, like I said, it's very unforgiving. I just can't get my best tank in the game, which has a level AC, an AC of 33, which is incredibly high. Still gets wasted in no time flat. So I'm trying to work that all out. But it has very interesting characters. Like I said, I do recommend it. Maybe wait for it for on sale if you're a budget gamer, but I do recommend it if you're a fan of the previous Neverwinter Nights games and the Baldur's Gate games. So I've been playing that. Like I said, I've been playing some Conan, which they just came out with the final, you can finally tame pets.
Are you playing on a dedicated server?
I am playing on a dedicated server.
Whose server?
It's an RP server. You want me to go ahead and just tell you all the info about this RP server I'm on?
Only if it's open to the public and you want everybody to have that info.
Yeah, they won't mind people knowing about the server. But it is an 18-plus RP server. It requires mods. They do have a list of rules. But it's Path of Exiled. Yes, I know. Path of Exile, kind of like Path of
Sexile. Well, there's a lot of nudity in the game.
Well, there is the Diablo game called Path of Exile.
Oh, there is. Okay.
I think they might guess have been totally wrong for that, but this is a Path of Exiled. So I want to make sure that it's very clear.
But I was thinking Path of Titties because there's less so much nudity in the game.
Well, there's
titties, right? I mean,
there's full nudity, and one of the mods adds certain things you can do with your thralls. I'll leave that to you guys to find out about it if you want. I don't do it. I'm just saying it's one of the things in the game.
Sure, you do, Kevin.
Okay, I tried one of them, and then the character
got... Ooh, the truth comes out.
The truth comes out. Right.
I had to log out and log back in because my character was so stuck in the ground. I was like, God damn it. Oh, boy. But, yeah.
His character's just humping the sand. When he logs back in.
Basically, that's what he's doing. That's basically what my character was doing. I was like, okay, we'll see how this... Oh, okay, so these are the emotes. We'll try this one. What? Wait, where did the thrall go? Why doesn't like my character just fucking the rock in front of him? God damn it.
He's just running around humping everything.
And now then I
hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, I couldn't get him out of it, so then I had to log out and log back in. Yeah. But it has some interesting mods for some decorations. If you're into building, Conan actually has some of the best building mechanics, I feel. There's a few issues, because I'm trying to get some of these roof pieces to fit on my little castle, and a lot of times one piece wouldn't fit, and so I moved the previous piece I had there, got that piece in, and then somehow finagled the other piece to get in. It was really aggravating, but mostly that was only with the roof pieces. So
there's a lot of building and construction in this game. It's a survival game, right?
Yeah, and you enslave thralls to take back. Yes, not to do whatever you want, but some of them have very specific tasks, which is basically giving you access to different types of creation stuff. Like one of the guys that I got lets me create very specific stuff to that thrall's race, cooking stuff, or blacksmithing stuff. There's different levels of thralls, so. But right now, I'm mostly just trying to build up my little castle, and then I'm going to build a little town where I'm going to put like a little blacksmithery, where I'm going to have characters hang out there. So I'm hoping everything will look pretty neat once I'm done. I'm trying to, at least. But I've got myself a hyena and a greater crocodile guarding my base, which I think is kind of funny. Go out and get pets now. It's like, ooh, a pet, yeah. I'm going to take this little baby home and throw it in my little tin bin.
Yeah, I'm surprised Doug's not in there. I know he plays Ark.
He occasionally plays Ark, but he doesn't. But
I've been having a lot of fun with Conan. He's got the baby now. There's no time for that.
Yeah.
Baby aggro.
That is very true. How many times I've played with Doug and he has to disappear because of the baby aggro. Been too real. Not blaming him, but...
I guess we should give him... We should probably give Matt a chance to talk about what he's been playing.
I was going
to
say, there's other stuff I've played, but, you know, I've been talking way too long. Because we got in the whole tangent about Star Citizen Online and Pathfinder Online. Let me shut up and
Matt, when I no, cut man, out a I was, lot of my I was, let me tell you, I was looking forward to hearing about those things, because I saw that on Steam that you've been playing them, and I was looking at those games myself, not Conan, because it's a survival game, but Pathfinder I was looking at pretty hard. I just need to wait for it to go on sale, I think. So,
yeah, I think you would like Pathfinder Kingmaker.
I think I probably would too. I think I could really get into it because of the heavy RPG elements.
Oh yeah, but hopefully by the time it goes on sale, they'll have a lot more of the bugs ironed out. Yeah. I haven't run into many of the bugs, but every like I said, at least two patches a week fixing bugs, you know. And so it'd be interesting for you. I'd like to hear your opinion about it. You get a chance to play it.
Yeah, I'm a budget gamer these days. I won't buy it unless it's on sale. So,
damn skippy. I
got to add it to my wish list, and then once it gets below $20, I'll probably pick it up. So, Matt, what you been playing? What you been up to?
Ah, crap! I played a metric ton of PUBG for a while. As frustrating and buggy as that game was,
that's like the new Arma. I remember when Arma was the big thing; everybody was jumping into that, and then. You know, it was notorious also for the bugs.
But I definitely... when it was at its buggiest, when it was still in its really early alpha stages, I was not a fan of a lot of the systems they had going on. I think my favorite time was they introduced a patch where you could revive teammates, and at about that point of the bugginess, I think is my favorite time with that game, because it was... The bugs were so silly that the game just felt, it felt very whimsical, and just all the stupid stuff. You know, you drive in a motorcycle and you just randomly do a flip in the air, and just so much stupid stuff. And
sometimes, that's the stuff that makes the game.
To me, that definitely fun, like that's, you know, those bugs were definitely what was making it so much fun to me. At this point, the weirdness with like the netcode and God, it's bad. And it's just, it's no longer, they've removed a lot of the bugginess that made it so much fun to me. So I've pretty much dropped PUBG. Well, of course, everyone's pretty much.
Have you tried Fortnite?
Not a Fortnite guy.
That seems to be a popular with the like the elementary and middle school set, and even high school to an extent.
I'm not really a third person gamer at all.
Oh, my son plays the shit out of some Fortnite. Him and all his buddies, even the girls in his class, they all play Fortnite.
Yeah, it's become like the new Minecraft for the school
for
kids.
The kiddies. Yeah,
I'm back on the Counter Strike Global Offensive train. It's my happy place.
When Matt gets those kills.
If I want to shoot some fools in the face, it's where I'm at.
Yeah, I hate playing that game with you because you shoot me and then you do your little laugh.
Never. That'd just be evil.
Was it you or was it Josh, Matt, that I basically defriended? I had a little tantrum.
Probably, I mean, that would have been like in Counter-Strike Source days.
I think it was Josh Moore. Think about it.
I mean, I think you defriended Josh, but you went on to like a rant to Josh about me and see the source.
I did remember that. I blinded Matt. Why didn't he have to die? And then Josh was like all defending you. I'm like, no, he's a hacker. I threw a flashbang right in your face. You didn't.
So, yeah, I shot him in the back of the head. He didn't die.
Yeah, it's just Counter Strike.
He turned around and blasted me.
I play the crap out of Stardew Valley. What's that about? Stardew Valley?
Yeah, tell me about that.
Did you like Harvest Moon for like Super Nintendo?
I'm looking it up on Steam right now. Is it on Steam?
Stardew Valley? No, it's definitely on Steam. Oh, God. You can get abducted into farmland, my friend.
So it's an 8-bit game. I'm looking at it now. It kind of looks like Terraria. Oh, no, it kind of looks kind of Zelda-y. It's got a little bit of a Terraria vibe going on, but it looks mostly very, very Zelda-esque. Very pretty for an 8-bit game.
Yeah, I love the developer of it because when he started the game, he went to the internet and he asked questions and he put the game out there and he's like, how can I make this game better for you people? What do I do to make the game better? And he's just taken all the community feedback, made it better. And now it's got multiplayer, so you can make your farms together.
Oh, is there a lot of farming? I guess I should correct myself. It's not an 8-bit game. It's a pixel graphics game.
Yeah. Its primary function is farming, but there's also a mining element to it. If you want to go to the mines and fight creatures, there's a farming element to it. There's cattle and chickens. You can kind of play it however you want to play it.
You guys in these crafting and mining games, I don't get it.
When he said, oh, I do have a garden, I'm like, you know what?
Get out of here, girls. Have any of you guys played Cuphead over the last year?
No. I got to look that one up, too. Is that another pixel game?
No. Cuphead style is amazing.
Think 50s style cartoons.
It is.
A shooter kind of mechanics too.
Yeah, I pulled it up. Now it reminds me of Tiny Toons almost. Oh no, wait a minute. This is way before Tiny Toons. Woody Woodpecker, maybe.
It's a game where you kind of have to memorize how things are going to come at you because it can definitely be very frustrating.
So it's
platformer. The graphical art style. Yeah, platformer shooter.
Yeah, it's kind of got that Bugs Bunny, like the older Bugs Bunny vibe.
Mm-mm.
That's cool. Anything else?
Oh, man, Abzu. Have you played Abzu yet?
Abzu, man, you come up with these abstract games. I don't even know how to spell Abzu. Oh, wait, here it is. I found it.
A-B-Z-U. You get to go underwater. Get all the pretty creatures and explore.
Dude, I know when you're playing this. Yeah, I could see why you'd want to play that under certain times.
Yeah, all those games that you mentioned, I probably have and have never started.
Yeah, how big is your Steam library, Curl? This is freaking obscene, isn't it?
I think it's like 1,400 or so.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus.
But I mean, like you, I've stopped buying games, but I subscribe to Humble Monthly, and I just buy a whole year, you know. So whatever lands for that month, I just kind of add it to the collection. If it was something I was looking forward to, then cool. If not, then I'll check it out later. You know what I mean? So
yeah, damn.
That's kind of how that has gone for the last, I don't know, it's been quite a while since I bought a full price title.
Yeah, I don't do it anymore. Very rarely. I almost picked up Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but I decided to wait.
So did I. But I'm like, okay, yeah, I know this is going to be on sale because the last two have gone on sale.
Pretty quick, too.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's already like 20 or 30% off now, right?
They had a sale for a little while, and then I'm looking at it right now, and it's back up to $59.99. But I imagine around Christmas time, it'll be back down to... You might be able to pick it up at Christmas time for like $29.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for. But I have so many other games in my library that I haven't touched yet. I still have to get into Dishonored 2. Tons of games.
I still have to play.
What were your thoughts? Is it better than the first?
It's... In some senses, yes. In some senses, I felt like it was a little bit of a step back. But I do like that you can play as both characters. Mm. Yeah. So essentially, you can play it through twice, you know, and have different abilities.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, the DLC, I wasn't really feeling that one at all. It didn't do much for me. I didn't finish that. Luckily, I got it on sale, but...
Cool. And Matt, did I cut you off? Did you have anything else?
Yeah, not really. I mean, play Diablo 3 season.
So, I guess we'll move on to my playlist. I've been playing a whole lot of... Well, I was playing a whole lot of Star Wars The Old Republic. I went back into that, subscribed, and started playing through the class stories. And played through both the Sith class stories, played through both the Jedi class stories. And then I played through the Smuggler class story, and playing through is that game is for me as anything other than a Jedi or a Sith was, it just wasn't as fun because people treat you differently if you're not a Jedi or a Sith. You're kind of just, you know, one of the common rabble, and that game is really good about making you feel special if you're a Jedi or a Sith. So I started playing the Imperial Agent, and then I got mostly through that, and then just kind of got burned out on it because I was playing SWTOR for a good, I don't know, like 9 months or more. That's all I was playing at that time. So I've unsubscribed, not because I'm mad at the game or anything or disappointed in it. I think I'm just burnt out and need a break. But I'll go back in and end up playing through the rest of the class stories when I'm done with my break. Other than that, I've been upgrading my PCs from Windows 7 to Windows 10 finally. I think they finally worked out enough of the bugs, and they made a few really good changes about being able to delay updates and feature updates. My biggest complaint was the feature updates. I don't want the feature updates. I don't think they're significant enough or that they add anything significant to Windows. All it does is every time they update the features, it resets a lot of settings and screws a bunch of shit up. So now that I can delay for a year.
Yeah, not anymore. I'm fresh off of Microsoft Ignite, and I sat in on a bunch of the lead engineers talking about this stuff, and they said that, yeah, we got a lot of feedback about that, and we finally were able to figure out and work a lot of those things into where, you know, they honor your settings changes and stuff in 1809. So 1809 going forward, you should be golden.
That's about time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of stuff, like I do Windows, and I'm sure you probably do too, Carolyn. I do Pro. I always go Pro because I can go into Group Policy Editor and make settings permanent that way. And there's a lot more control in Group Policy Editor, especially when it comes to getting Cortana out of my life and the Windows Store out of my life. So Group Policy Editor is great for that.
But for the Windows Store, you want to leave that. You want to allow it to update the built-in app still, especially if Edge is going to remain on the machine, because that's how Edge is getting patched out.
Yeah, I don't use Edge at all. I stick with Firefox for the most part, and then I do use Chrome just to access my Google services that I use, like YouTube. And if something doesn't work in Firefox, because every once in a while there'll be some type of media that just won't run or won't work correctly in Firefox, and I'll have to open Chrome. But for the most part, I don't touch Edge. I don't think I've ever opened Edge. I don't know. Can you disable it or remove it? Probably not. But I know I've never opened it on a machine.
I don't. Well, there probably is a way to pull that pre-provisioned package out. But it may. I don't know whether it will or won't come back after a build update. So.
But I felt confident enough. I had a laptop with Windows 10 Pro on it, and after using it for a while, it grew on me. It's snappy. It's definitely a lot more snappy. It looks better, and it does seem to update faster. And when you're doing a new install, especially, you know, if you were to go to install Windows 7 right now, it takes about 3 days to get through all the updates. So. Right. It was time, and I'll say I helped my buddy. My buddy came over here, and we did a Ryzen build for him. He put I want to say it was a Ryzen 5 2600X, if I've got that correct.
That's what I'm sitting on right now.
Nice. That's the 6-core, right?
Yeah.
So I helped him build that, and we installed Windows 10, and we were up and running with Windows 10 in 10 minutes. I mean, it was...
Yep.
It was nice for a fresh install like that to be up and running so quickly. So I've still got two laptops that are still running Windows 7, but they're really old and my kids are using them, so I might not upgrade them. I might just replace the laptops, but I'm finally running on Windows 10, and I'm quite happy with it. Compatibility mode is a lot better than it used to be, and it solves a lot of problems. And a lot of times I've noticed Windows 10 will just automatically apply the compatibility settings, which is nice.
Yeah.
So they've come a long way with it from when it first came out.
Yeah, they with their analytics and all of that stuff, they've come a long way in helping to mitigate a lot of things with the 50 million apps that you could or could not be running. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to add, so if you're okay with them getting some telemetry off your box, then it certainly helps in, you know, with regards to situations like that.
Oh, will they send specific updates if, so say they're getting information from my PC that says there's a compatibility issue, and that's included in telemetry, will they include that in, let's say, the next set of updates that I get?
Well, what it does is it goes into the database, and eventually, or something of that nature, eventually a workaround will come around. So the person that runs it after you will automatically get the right compatibility stuff applied. That's what they're using all of the AI shit for.
Nice. So you would recommend leaving the telemetry on for, I think there's a specific switch that says send diagnostic data to Microsoft.
Yeah, the bare telemetry is what I typically leave on. I don't turn on the one that's like, oh yeah, just send us everything. You know how you have to flip those, 10 sliders when you're first doing a fresh install?
Yeah.
Yeah, I typically turn all of those off, but even then, 100% telemetry is not disabled. It's just the bulk of it. So.
Yeah, getting the ads out of the... I mean, I don't know. It's not an issue for me as a pro user, but in the home version, getting the ads in your Windows Explorer and some of the other shit, I thought was kind of dirty. But I believe the home version is the only one that's affected by that.
Right. I mean, they're really pushing their services kind of like Google does, because they're trying to build more of a Mac-like situation where, oh yeah, you know, you have your things magically show up like the cloud, you know, it's trying to pull that kind of,
yeah. Google seems to be a lot better at getting out of your way, though, with the ads. I mean, they're very subtle. I mean, yeah, you don't notice the little ad at the bottom of your Gmail screen. You know what I mean? They're very good about not being in your face about it.
Right.
They just need to work on their UI. Trying to find a setting in anything that Google's made is a fucking nightmare. You got to Google it.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, like, who does their UI development?
Like, they want you to use search, man.
I mean, you have to. I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, to their credit, if I do a Google search, especially with YouTube, YouTube's a nightmare to try to adjust your settings. But to their credit, if you do a Google search, the link you'll get will take you directly to the setting.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that.
I definitely feel you on 10's development coming along quite nicely. I mean, compared to when we first started using it at work and where it's at this point, definitely much, much further along.
For the home situation, I never really had any big issues. But on the corporate side, there was still a lot of growing that it needed to do. That still wouldn't have stopped me from pushing it out a few months after I got my infrastructure set up, if it were up to me. But, you know, I work for the feds and we're slow as shit. So.
Well, you're probably in the same situation I am. I work for a municipality and we have a lot of legacy systems that, you know, keep us from upgrading our Windows machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we have like old print lab software and stuff where you try to push it out to 10 and the dev says, well, it should work, guys. And you put it onto 10 and it's like, well, it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to need you to get to mitigating.
At some point soon, please.
Right.
I need you to upgrade my ticket.
My home system is still on 8.1 Enterprise, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure when I'm actually going to come off of this. whenever I build a new system, I suppose.
Well, just so our listeners know, when I say I'm upgrading my machines to Windows 10, that's 3 desktop PCs and 1, 2, 3 laptops. So I basically have a small office in my house.
Yeah, you do. Holy crap.
Yeah, and then I'm also running 2 Dell servers, they're rack servers. They're PowerEdge 2950s, both running Windows Server 2012 R2. So everything I've got here is kind of set up like an enterprise would be, except I'm not running a domain. I don't have a domain set up.
Yeah, I used to do that too, but I more or less stopped when they start tripping about TechNet.
Oh, yeah. Well, most of my license keys are Graynet license keys, so I'm not paying full price. Gray market, I mean. You can get a lot of international keys that aren't meant to be sold in the U.S., and you're violating the terms of service, but they're a fraction of the cost of the regular license.
Right.
Not illegal, but they aren't supposed to be used in the U.S., so don't expect any support if you call Microsoft.
Right.
And then I did some monitor upgrading. I actually I had some extra cash at one point, and I bought a few monitors. I have a 27-inch Acer Predator, 2560 by 1440 with G-Sync. And then I bought a Viotech, like one of those cheap Korean monitors. It's a Viotech curved monitor, FreeSync, 2560 by 1440 ISP monitor. And then I bought a regular 60 hertz, 1440p ViewSonic. I think that's what it's called, ViewSonic monitor. To compare and contrast between the three of them, you know, the Acer Predator with the G-Sync and the high refresh rate of 144 hertz, I did notice a huge difference playing games like Overwatch and any kind of game where you'd need to react quickly. And the Viotech, or not the, yeah, is it Viotech? Yeah, the Viotech FreeSync monitor, you know, is pretty much the same specs, 144 hertz. Only with FreeSync. They both perform exactly the same, except that the FreeSync monitor was about $200 less than the G-Sync monitor. So both otherwise they perform the same. And then with the 60 hertz monitor, with doesn't have any kind of sync on it, Definitely notice a difference, you know, trying to play shooting games. I don't even bother with this monitor now. This is basically for Photoshop and Premiere Pro, and I can play RPGs on it just fine. But anything that requires a quick reaction, I definitely now prefer the FreeSync and G-Sync monitors with the high refresh rate. But I have the FreeSync monitor on an RX 480 that I picked up before the GPU prices went sky high. I got it for under $200, and it came with a copy of Doom. And I've got to say, the RX 480 playing 1440p games, it's got 8 gigabytes of RAM on the video card, and it'll play pretty much anything with settings maxed out, and it'll never dip below 60. And I'm super impressed with the Radeon RX 480, especially playing at 1440p. You wouldn't expect that kind of performance, but it eats everything up. And it's just an MSI with a stock cooler on it, and super impressed. I would definitely recommend Radeon cards. So this is my first Radeon card. I haven't used a Radeon card since like the AGP days. I had an HIS 3850 AGP card, you know, when I was gaming back in the day, and I was playing Doom utilizing Vulcan with the RX 480. And this card is an older card. It's been replaced by the RX 580 now. And it plays Doom at 80 to 120 frames per second on ultra settings. I mean, it's super impressive. So you don't have to spend $1,200 to get a good gaming experience is what I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make. You can, so if you've never tried Radeon cards and you're looking to get into PC gaming, I think, and you're on a budget, I think Radeon should be the first place you go. That's just my opinion. I'm like I said, I'm super impressed with it, and I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, I've been saying the same thing for ages, but you know they always give me shit about it. But on the flip side, I'm also one of the few of us that will buy from either company. I just lean heavily towards Red. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, my main rig is
other guys. They won't buy Red at all. Like Simon and Josh, they just won't fucking do it.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't have that kind of fanboyism or loyalty to any corporation like that. I when I buy something, it's about me. It's not about the company. You know what I mean? I mean, but I've got NVIDIA cards. I've got in my main rig, I still have a 980 Ti. I don't plan on upgrading to the RX 2080 or whatever it is. I usually will buy the top of the line card that's out at the time when I buy a card, and it'll usually last me about 4 years. So I've got a couple more years before I plan on upgrading my 980 Ti. Unless, you know, with the exception of if I can't turn everything up to high to ultra settings, then I'll have to upgrade. But I haven't hit that yet, so I don't see any reason to drop, you know, $1,200 on a top of the line card. And to be honest with you, I might just pick up a Navi card if it ever comes out from Radeon, because I've had such a good experience with their entry level cards.
I mean, I'm running a Vegas 64 liquid cool right now, and I mean it's exactly what I wanted. It's a bigger, badder Fury X, essentially.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the other thing, too, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with this, is if you're playing games at 120 frames per second on an RX Vega, and then you go and play with a, let's say, a 1080 Ti at 180 frames per second, if you didn't have the counter on your screen to tell you the difference, you wouldn't feel the difference. There's absolutely no difference in the experience between 120 frames per second and 180 frames per second. It's not perceivable.
Right.
The only difference is you're $400 poorer for having bought the 1080 Ti.
Yeah. Did you see those comparisons that Kyle over at HardOTP did on his YouTube channel?
No, I didn't, but I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, he did exactly that twice. And it just proves it proves the point of exactly what you're saying. So.
That you can't tell the difference. You know, and I think that Radeon was trying to make that point too at, not Computex, but one of the big ones that was over in China, where they had a RX Vega set up, and then they had a 1080 Ti rig next to it, and they had them blacked out so you couldn't see which was which, and then they had people try one or the other and try to guess which was which, and they couldn't tell the difference for the most part.
Right. Right.
Couldn't tell the difference. And speaking of Radeon, I helped a friend recently build a Ryzen rig, and I think my next rig will also probably be a Ryzen rig. I'm impressed with how far AMD's come, and I'm tired of overpaying for stuff, and I think Intel has been gouging its customers for a very long time. And again, yeah, I could get 20 more frames per second if I bought the i9 over the what's the Ryzen 7? Okay, is it 2700X?
2700X.
Yeah, I think that's what competes with the i9. But I'm going to pay a lot less, a whole lot less between the i9 and it's a couple hundred dollars. So
it'll be like damn near half of the price.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not gonna see the difference. It's not perceivable.
And the thing that kills me about a lot of those tests regarding you know, the CPU speeds and stuff is, if you're spending that much money on hardware, where you know you're gonna buy the biggest, baddest NVIDIA card, the biggest, baddest CPU to game at 1080p, it's like, what the fuck, Richard?
Like, yeah.
I mean, a lot of things balance out on the CPU and GPU side when you step up to that next level at right around 1440 or so.
Yeah, I mean, the difference almost is eliminated or disappears. Speaking of Intel, Curlin, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
All right, cool.
So Intel, the controversy with Intel hires a testing company to do the benchmarking, and then doesn't give the chip or doesn't give access to the chip to reviewers, you know, outside reviewers. Curlin, I'm sure you followed this.
Oh yeah, I did. And it's taking a play out of NVIDIA's book. Well, I guess Intel kind of started it, but they're playing off of each other's thing. In other words, they're trying to stick it to AMD in any way possible, no matter how shady it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, true enough, Intel hired a third party company to do those tests, but as a firm that does only this kind of work, you would think that they would have put more energy into setting up a proper methodology. I mean, they got a gang of examples right there on fucking YouTube. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they didn't want to do it properly, why not sub it out to fucking Steve at Gamers Nexus and let him do it?
Exactly. And I mean, Steve even came out and said that their testing methodology was extremely, extremely flawed. And to the company's credit, they did come out and apologize. And, took the recommendations from Steve and a few others and reran the tests and, you know, using a better methodology.
Right. But I mean, it is like, okay, you're the research firm. Why not do some research?
Well, I blame Intel. I mean, the whole way they did this was just so fucking shady. Here, we're going to hire a private company to do the testing, and then we're not going to give it to any of the reviewers. So hard OC.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Linus or Jay or Steve or any of the other Paul. I mean, I can go on and on. It's all the same people that we all watch.
And what I don't really understand about it is, like, you go look at the Tech Reports review breakdown of the 9900, and I mean, it's not like it's having trouble keeping up with the 2700 or something. It's still destroying it. So why did they feel the need to out of their way to be dishonest when...
Right.
Exactly. I mean, yes, there's no argument, and it's faster. It is.
Right, and everybody knew that it was going to be faster out of the gate. It was just going to be a matter of how much. And was that worth it to you in a dollar sense?
Right. Right. It's definitely not a good value proposition at all.
Oh, God, no. You should look at the cute little TR scatter plot for value versus versus performance. It's like way up there. Yeah.
Tech report. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, all the reviewers kind of felt shunned, too. I mean, if I would have been offended, too. You know, I mean, every single one of them came out, you know, against what Intel did.
Yeah, they was basically like, oh, so this is what we're doing now?
Okay. Yeah. It's a kick in the nuts. It really is a kick in the nuts. Mm-hmm. But on that, I guess, so AMD's response, I thought, was awesome. They put all their 2700Xs on sale to increase the value proposition. So, yeah, the 2700X is available for as little as $290. And what's the Core i9 go for?
It was like damn near 500, right?
580 if you can get it at retail. I guess there's a supply issue too, so that's also driving the prices up.
Right. So here's the deal. Like you can get the Ryzen, a high-end Ryzen board, and probably start on your RAM or something else, maybe like an SSD for the cost of just the chip and a cooler alone if you wanted to pick up a 9900.
Yep. And I mean, looking at the benchmarks too, we're talking about, you know, say you're a content creator and you have money to burn for, you know, a high-end chip. All you're going to save by spending a couple hundred more dollars on this i9, in most of these benchmarks, we're talking about 10 minutes, you know, 10 to 15 minutes at the most in rendering jobs. Is that really worth it?
Yeah, plus anybody doing that kind of work is probably going to pick up a Threadripper or an XE anyway.
Yeah. I'd love to get a Threadripper. I'd love to build a Threadripper server. You know, the 16 core, 32 threads.
Dude, they are dope. I built one for the other Josh when we were doing our crypto stuff because he wanted a brand new Windows machine. And yeah. Oh my God, that thing rips.
God damn. I mean, I would love that. Shit, I could reduce the two servers I have to one, and it would still, it'd still be able to do the media stuff that I have on it. Because I run a Plex media server here. And sometimes if I'm outside the house and I want to watch a movie on my phone, it's got to convert it. And shit, I could have 10 people all sign on to my server, streaming to their phones and having it convert video for them on the fly with Threadripper. That would be so fucking awesome.
See, I don't need to be buying a 2700 right now. But, man, I would love one. replace my 4790K.
Oh, dude, I'm running I think that's what I'm... That's Devil's Canyon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm running, too. Except I think I'm running a... Is that the
i5? It's the i7.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm running the i5. I think it's 4690K.
Yeah. When Alan's house went out, I bought the 4690K from Kroll's and built him a system with it. It's a great processor.
Yeah.
Just hope your board doesn't go out, because it's hard to find one.
Don't be putting that bad juju on this ASUS board.
Well, that's the other problem with Intel is this TikTok nonsense. You know, when the 2700X came out, it was just a BIOS update for the AMD socket, and you could put it in the board you have.
Right. And, I mean, they already said that there is going to be at least four releases on AM4. Before they would have to make a big enough revision to the socket to warrant a big upgrade.
Really? I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, so if you're on that platform now and your board has decent VRMs, you can look forward to probably Zen 2 plus the Zen 2 refresh before you'd have to swap it, change it up.
Go AMD. I mean, yep. My next build will be definitely AMD for the chip, and you know, hopefully Navi will be out, and I'll do, you know, a full AMD build.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm running. I ain't look back. All of my rigs.
Next year, I'm looking at a GPU refresh, and then the year after, I'll tear down and replace some other board, RAM, CPU. So hopefully AMD will have something good for me at that point for AMD or for GPU solid.
Yeah, I'm going to need a platform upgrade myself because you know, having just the four cores, most of the time they're running at 80% or higher on new games. So I'm definitely going to need to upgrade the platform.
You're on an i5?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on an i5 4690K, overclocked to 4 gigahertz.
Yeah, man, I've been telling people for ages that 4 threads was not enough. So, like, when people will be arguing in forums, well, all you need is an i5, and be like, no, I'm telling you, you need more than that. You need it, because here's the thing. Most people will stay on their platform for ages and upgrade their GPU.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're sitting on an i5 with 4 threads, but, you know, you buy a brand new 2070, guess what your bottleneck is?
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, hell, what's that engine? Frostbite. Frostbite won't even spawn more than 4 threads if you only have 4 threads available.
Yeah, I regret the i5 purchase. At the time, I was going off of recommendation from Maximum PC.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to spend that i7-4790K on Amazon. It's still over $300. I might as well put that towards that's a Ryzen board and a 2700X.
Right. Hell, at this point, even a 2600 and a board would still put you right where you needed to be.
Yeah, at least
you have
with
to buy RAM. That's the catch.
Yeah, that is the catch. But, you know, we're talking about going from DDR3 to DDR4, so it'd be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's going to be next year for me as a platform upgrade.
Right.
It's kind of crazy. Have you seen the benchmarks for GTA 5 where they compare the different RAM speeds?
And I have not.
These are things they've done like last year, but the RAM speeds, the increase in FPS is actually pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. Watching Digital Foundry?
Yeah,
I love their videos. Digital Foundry. I love when Digital Foundry will play a game. They'll have their benchmarking up there. They're playing a game, and then they have the line graph at the bottom with the FPS counter, and it's all real time, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I was a Patreon supporter of theirs for a long time, and I finally turned it off. I felt like they were shilling a little bit too much.
Well, they should be getting enough from their YouTube channel. They've got quite a few subscribers.
Right.
Curlin, tell me about this, the RTX NVIDIA cards coming out and the controversy behind it.
RTX, here's the thing. Nobody should buy that shit. Not only are they overcharging to keep the cost of their old stuff high, but what you gain performance-wise is not worth it. And plus, when you look at what is on the horizon, it's going to be a Maxwell to Pascal leap all over again when you compare Turing to whatever the hell is next. Because you got a die shrink you got to factor in here. So, and I mean, they're on what, 12 or 14 nanometer? They go to 7, that's half of the physical space, so they can build twice as big of a GPU. You know what I'm saying? And that's gonna probably be pretty damn close to twice the amount of performance. Now, true enough, NVIDIA is greedy, and they're probably gonna charge out the wazoo again for it. But if you're really looking forward to ray tracing and all this other ILM level fuddy-duddy or whatever that they're doing with their anti-aliasing AI stuff, then the next one will be the one to buy. Because, I mean, for either the same amount of money or a little bit more, you'll gain a lot more in terms of performance.
I'm going to play devil's advocate since we don't have any of the NVIDIA fanboys here with us today. One could argue, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. One could argue that now is the best time for them to be releasing this technology because they're dominating with the 1080 Ti. AMD really doesn't have anything that can compete with it, you know, as far as performance is concerned. So they can go ahead and try this new technology and release it now with the RTX 2080 because they don't have to worry about the competition.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the case. No question. That's absolutely what it is.
But I would agree with you that if you're going to buy a new card right now, that the 2080 the RTX 2080 is not the best value for performance when you can buy a 1080 Ti for much less.
Exactly. Right. And the 1080 Ti is pretty much on a level playing field with the 2070. So it's really like, where's your value proposition at?
Right, right. And none of these games coming out are going to utilize the ray tracing for years to come.
The 2080, the regular 2080 and the 1080 Ti trade blows.
I thought the 2070 and the 1080 traded blows.
Oh, you said 2070 and 1080. I thought you said 1080 Ti, my bad.
I think I did. That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the price chart for this the 2000 series cards right now so we can take a look at it. What the retail prices are going to be anyway. I know it's terrible because the Titan is basically now the Ti. We're looking at, for an Asus RTX 2080 Ti, $1,219. And for a 1080 Ti, go down the chart here a little bit, 1080 Ti, we're looking at, shit, still $1,000. It's crazy. I mean, you can get, there are some cheaper ones on here.
Mm-hmm. And all of this is live pricing for brand new stuff. So.
Shit, yeah, I mean, nothing under $700, though. But still, if you could find a 1080 Ti for around $700, that's gonna. You could also buy a monitor with the $600 or $500 you're gonna save.
Right. So like, here's a smart move. If you really want ray tracing, wait. Buy you a used card off of eBay, and then with the money that you save, you put that towards your 3080 or whatever the hell they call it next. Purchase, you know what I'm saying? It's probably gonna be maybe a year and a half, and whether it's a mining card or not, it's gonna run fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing you gotta ask yourself too. You gotta ask yourself, is there a game that's coming out that utilizes ray tracing that you want to play, like that you have to have or you want to play? Because if that answer is not yes, then you don't need ray tracing.
I think the only defining game, and I don't even know if it will have ray tracing, I don't think they've announced anything about that aspect yet, would be Cyberpunk 2077. If that game has ray tracing, I'm going to be like, geez, I need ray tracing.
Yeah, well, are you going to play it 4K?
No, I'm going to play it 1440p.
Right, I mean, so do you even need the 2080 Ti then?
No.
Well, I mean, for ray tracing, you're going to need a pair of them.
Yeah.
To play at 1440.
Damn.
So yeah, it's heavy. Which is why I'm saying, just wait for the next one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So because with the density of the chip that they have now, you're gonna need more of those compute cores that do the ray tracing in order to get decent performance at something higher than 1080p from what we've already seen. So
yeah, Nvidia's prices are just, they're charging so much because they feel they can, basically, and it's kind of an insult to their customers.
It really is, but it's a twofold thing. Remember that story about the more than 300,000 GPUs that they left some supplier hanging with,
yeah,
or some of the suppliers hanging with, when everyone knew that the new was on its way out. I also think that this is also a part of that whole spiel to make those remaining 10 series look that much better from a value proposition, to where those will go ahead and sell even though the new is out. You know what I'm saying?
I just had a thought. What if they're using the drivers to artificially gimp the RTX series, and they'll, until that stock is reduced, that excess stock is reduced, and then they come out with a driver that makes it perform
just annihilate?
Yeah, it seems to cause it just to annihilate the 1080 Ti.
Where's the tinfoil, James?
Oh man, we're getting into conspiracy theories now, man. But it is Nvidia, so you can't trust them motherfuckers.
You sure can. Yep, sure can. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm probably going AMD next time, so I don't got to worry about it.
But Nvidia,
what's in the game.
what you just told us, Tommy, is that the marketing is working on you.
Yeah, sadly, no. Okay, this is why I have you and Jim and other people who keep their ears to this kind of stuff and listens to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
See, this is why I definitely probably would go AMD as well, just because some of the stuff I've heard. But of course, you know, like I said, I always go with you guys. But all right, so what's the best card right now for my buck? Oh, there's some new cards coming out, so maybe wait for those new cards to come out. What do you mean NVIDIA's not going to drop their prices? Gosh dang it.
Yeah, the prices are just ridiculous. And then they charge for G-Sync. There's a premium for G-Sync, too. I mean...
Yeah. It also didn't help that, you know, the cryptocurrency stuff, you know, took off and people were buying cards up left and right.
Yeah, a lot of that was retailers, too, though.
I know. But I said it didn't help, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, since it is Halloween, about Halloween-themed games. I don't know if you guys are really into or really get into the holidays like I do, but I love that, for example, Overwatch does something for Halloween. It's not Dr. Frankenstein, Junkenstein, basically. But it's Halloween-themed, and I love it when games do that. I always liked in World of Warcraft the whole Headless Horseman thing.
Blizzard in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, and even like Team Fortress 2, which is still going, they do like a Headless Horseman thing around the holidays. And Killing Floor 2, which is a game I really love, is doing a Halloween thing right now. And
here's a fun little fact. A lot of those survival games you were giving crap about, they have Halloween themed stuff too.
So you've got like little, on your balls, they're like little jack-o'-lanterns?
That would be interesting, but no. Okay, so give me an example. Ark does a big thing every year where it's Fear Evolution, where it's, you know, it's either way, Fear Evolution, where you can get certain bone skins to you know, decorate your dinos with, or
that's cool,
your helmets with. There's a big Dodo Rex, they'll come out. Pumpkins, the only time you can learn how to make, basically, what I think they're called, scarecrows. So they do something. Now, the developers behind Conan have been hitting at something for the Conan Exiles games, but I haven't heard much about what that's going to be. I don't know. If they're going to do it, it's going to be a little late. Sometimes, for some reason, some of these developers don't get this stuff out until November, so it's weird. But one of the fun things is sometimes when these event things do happen, like an ARC, if it's a private server, a privately owned server, I should say, but can join it, the person running the server can actually extend the event if they wanted to. Or they don't even have to have the event at all if it annoys you. But yeah, a lot of the survival games will usually have something going on, which I always find just fun and reminder of the seasonal changes and stuff.
That's cool. One of my favorite Halloween games of all time, and I usually try to play it every year. I don't know if I'll get the chance to this year, though, is Costume Quest. It's a Double Fine game. It was released in 2011, so it's been out for a while. And there's a Costume Quest, too. But the environment's in the game, and it's extremely casual. The combat in it is quick time events. But they're a lot of fun, because you can change up your costumes and your companions' costumes, and each costume has the different abilities. And it's just a fun game to kick back on the couch and maybe use your actually get to use your Steam, the hell is that thing?
Controller.
Your Steam controller or your Xbox controller hooked up to your Steam, what's Steam that box. Streaming box called? I have Steam one. Link. Steam Link, yes. Steam. Something you can use your Steam Link with, because it's, you know, it's not a game you have to play at high resolution. It's one of those games you can kick back and chill on the couch if you're really into holiday themed games.
I actually had one for a little while, and it wasn't that bad. I didn't know it was that much mine. Of a lag.
Yeah, if you have it wired, it's you know, it's pretty good. They've sent out enough updates to it to where it's pretty good. As long as it's wired, I haven't tried it wireless lately, but as long as it's hardwired, it's pretty good. But yeah, that game, Costume Quest. Highly recommend it. It's only $10 on Steam.
Just like to point out, Stardew Valley, every season has a fall festival. Giant pumpkins, show them off,
So you can grow some pumpkins.
Can you get a little pumpkin outfit for your kitty cat?
I mean, no, you can't. But I do have a cat in the game. Thank you, Kevin.
But I'm actually surprised they don't have little outfits for the pets.
There's probably a mod for it.
Yeah, I love mods. Modding's always my favorite thing.
Well, we're coming up on 2 hours, so we should probably wrap it up.
You can cut most of my rambling off, and that'll be like a half an hour, right?
Nah, just clean everything up. Thank you guys for coming out tonight and joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm really happy to be doing this again. I hope we can get some of the other guys back on as well.
It's their own podcast
now. They are, yeah. And go check it out. It's called the Logic is Sound. And if you go to the afkpodcast.net, there's a link to their YouTube channel there. And I know they've got a website coming out too. But I would love to get Barman on and Josh and Simon on at some point too. But thank you guys for coming out. It was a lot of fun.
Get the old gang back together.
Definitely good chatting with you again. Once our listeners start to find us again, I want to try to reignite game night at least once a month. Pick a game.
Here's a question then. What game would you want to do for the first game night?
Well, I was going to do one, and I had it all set up and ready to go. I had a dedicated server set up on one of my servers, and I was going to do Black Wake. But we could also do Killing Floor 2, because I have a couple dedicated servers for that as well. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if there's something on sale at the time, definitely that's going to be a good possibility, especially if it's cheap, you know, in case people don't have it. If they could pick it up for a couple bucks, then maybe they can jump in there with us. But it's going to be one of those things where, you know, we had a few thousand listeners at our peak. And a lot of those listeners don't know where we are right now or don't know that we're back. So it's going to take a little bit of time for them to find us again. And as our listeners start to find us again, it'll probably be a lot easier.
A couple handfuls worth of on my Steam friends list. I might go annoy them and say, hey, guess what?
I'll definitely post something on in the Steam group too.
I know some of the guys actually responded to your whole thing about game night. That's how I found out. Yeah. Wait, what?
So I mean, if we even had like 5 or 6 people show up, it'd still be fun. You know what I mean? So
I think the best one we ever did, we had maybe actually 2 dozen people show up for a Battlefield event. We had was it 3?
I know back in the PC Games days, I showed up for a. It was like a Wild West game we were playing or something like that.
Was it for PC?
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it's not just me standing in the server. I plan on live streaming it, so if it's just me standing in there in the server, I'll probably have some crickets playing in the background. And then, you know, my guy will be sitting there crying because he's so lonely and all alone.
But I unfortunately don't have Killing Floor 2.
It's on sale right now for $10. Go pick it up.
I did, I'll look into it. I'll think about it. Right now, my money was trying to be budget towards Fallout 76.
Oh, that's Fallout 76. That's a little ways off yet.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
But I'm sure they'll charge $100 for the Founders Edition.
Yeah, something.
So, that being said, we want to hear from our listeners. Once you find us again, you can email us at mail@theafkpodcast.net. Notice we're .net now, not .com. Somebody swooped up the domain, and it's an Indian website, and I can't read what it says. It probably says Flynn's an asshole or something like that. But this podcast will eventually be back up on iTunes and Google Play as soon as I can get it back up there. You know, building websites and doing audio production is a perishable skill, and if you don't use it all the time, you forget how to do shit. So it's going to take me probably a few days to even get this show ready and published to iTunes. So you'll probably be listening to this a week after it was originally recorded. But as soon as I can refresh my brain on how to do all this shit again, it won't take that long. With that being said, we are out. Unless you guys got anything else you want to add real quick.
Yeah, I'm good. But again, appreciate James, Matt, Carolyn. It was a pleasure talking to you too.
Definitely fun. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.